Jerry Bader Show, 9:35. There are two notable stories concerning national politics lately. One is that the Republican strategy for fall is continuing to be critical of the Affordable Care Act, more commonly known as Obamacare. And the Democratic strategy is to talk about anything but Obamacare. Yet you do have some on the left who insist that they should run on, not from, Obamacare, particularly with supposedly rosy enrollment numbers of late. As you are likely aware, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson filed suit concerning the preferential treatment that Obamacare gives to members of Congress and its staff. The administration filed a motion to dismiss that. Senator Johnson yesterday filed his answer to that motion to dismiss, and he joins us now. Senator, good morning.
Morning, Jerry. How are you doing?
Good. That you had been criticized by some, even on your side, saying this was a fool's errand, question of even standing to do this. So in what is the crux of your argument in your response to the motion to dismiss? What, just in a nutshell, what's your response? What's your reasoning here?
Well, Jerry, you really do get into some pretty complex legal issues here, but standing is all about you have to show specific harm. And the specific harm that I'm claiming as a member of Congress is, first and foremost, it does place an administrative burden on me. It also creates a wedge between myself and my constituents because now I am being granted unequal treatment under the law, which, let's face it, you know, as an American, I don't like anybody getting unequal treatment under the law. And it also forces me, as a member of Congress, to engage in conduct that I believe is unlawful, is illegal, because President Obama had no legal authority to change the law. And so, listen to your opening there. Yeah, we're talking about this has to do with Obamacare, but this lawsuit is about a far more fundamental issue. It's about our constitutional framework. It's about the fact that the president, a duty of his, it's not optional, it's mandatory that he shall take care that the laws are faithfully executed. There's nothing in the Constitution, this court and the Supreme Court, that provides the president the authority to enact, to amend, or to repeal statutes. If they don't like the way this part of the law was written, they need to come to Congress and change the law. That's really what's fundamentally at stake here. And this president is changing the law, suspending the law across the board, not only with Obamacare, but other agencies. This is one instance where a member of Congress, I believe, can prove standing to get this unlawful activity challenged, to get judicial review, which is the only way you can enforce that check and balance in our constitutional framework.
Do you think, you point out that this is one example of more than 20 unilateral changes that the administration has made to Obamacare. If you're successful, I mean, do you get to that larger issue that, look, this is part of a systemic unconstitutional practice?
Absolutely. And that's, one thing that was really heartening about yesterday, not only did we file our answer to their motion to dismiss, but an amicus brief was filed with the court, and 12 Republican senators, 26 House Republican House members joined in that amicus brief, which, Jerry, I think kind of shows that this is nothing frivolous. This is an important issue that so many of my colleagues understood exactly what is at stake. Our founders just felt that each branch would strongly defend their power, their ability to check the power of the other branches, and that is not what's been happening here.
So in your mind, is this suit and what you've done, is it less about the Affordable Care Act and more about the larger issue?
Certainly from my standpoint, it's more about the larger issue. It's about the fact that certainly during my lifetime, I have seen presidential power grow and congressional power be reduced. And listen, I see the public opinion polls of Congress, 9-13% is still too high, but we do need a Congress to exert its authority so that we maintain that constitutional balance to limit government's intrusion into our lives. If we continue down this path where we basically grant the president the power of a regal authority, of a king, our freedoms are really going to be threatened. And, of course, we're seeing that with Obamacare. Nobody knows what the law is. keeps changing on a day-to-day basis, that is so harmful to economic activity, to our healthcare system. When people cannot plan on any kind of certainty, we're no longer a law or a nation ruled by the law. We're more a nation ruled by the law of unintended consequences, because nobody knows. There's no certainty in the law, the way this administration in particular is not enforcing it.
Yeah, that's a good point, because it appears that the president has decided, and I do want to expand to the politics of this a little bit. It appears that the president has decided he is going to fight back and not run from the Affordable Care Act. They're pointing to supposedly rosy enrollment numbers. But the reality is, how can the administration or any vulnerable U.S. Democratic senator run on something that has become jello, that it's just, we don't know what it is, and we don't know when really it's ever going to fully take effect?
Well, Jerry, you know, there was some powerful testimony by Jonathan Turley in front of the House Judiciary Committee. Now, Jonathan Turley is a liberal law professor at Georgetown, big supporter of President Obama. Jonathan Turley is talking about how we're at a constitutional tipping point, and that the courts have basically been absent in terms of their role of judicial review of this presidential overreach. So that really is the primary point of what I'm trying to accomplish here.
I want to broaden this conversation to a couple of things, both the political and the policy. You know, it's no secret that, at least as of today, and this is subject to change, the left is making it clear that they are going to run on income inequality, because they want to change the subject from what you're talking about, and they'll keep trying issue after issue. But today, that appears to be their strategy. I and others have said this. If that's what they do, and you know, sometimes I'm critical. I don't think Republicans have hit all the right notes all the time, but I'm also, you know, I'm in the booth. I'm not on the field, so that's easy for me to do. But are Republicans going to hit back and say, look, income equality has never grown like it has in the 5 years of the Obama administration?
Well, we try. You know, part of the problem, Jerry, is talk radio helps us get our message out there. But the mainstream press, our education system, our entertainment media are utterly opposed to us. So it's very difficult for those messages to get amplified in the press. What gets amplified is when the left wants to talk about income inequality. That's what the nation talks about, you know, the news media, the entertainment media, our education system. So we have some real structural challenges in terms of making those points. And then that's just the truth. But the truth is the reason we have so much income inequality is because our economy is not producing the way it should be producing. The reason we have a weakening middle class is because we have a moribund economy. And the way you strengthen the middle class is through more freedom, through more free enterprise, you know, free market reforms that actually reduce the role of government, the very harmful role of the federal government in our economy.
One of the other issues that I think needs to, and conservatives certainly have talked about this, but, you know, you've got another delay, an obviously political delay in the Keystone Pipeline. There was a very slanted story on CBS News Friday against frack sand mining in Wisconsin. There's a piece in the Wall Street Journal today that points out that Vladimir Putin can behave the way he is because he has oil and natural gas that Western Europe needs. You know, we've always talked about the economic impact of the energy debate and the ridiculous moribund energy policy that we have now in the U.S. Isn't it time to talk about the national security element of being afraid to maximize the fossil fuels that we have?
Absolutely. Of course, I was just in Moldova last week. I was in Ukraine a few weeks ago, right before they took the vote in Crimea. And that's the point I've been making, that what gives Vladimir Putin strength are his oil and gas reserves and Europe's dependence on those things. What also gives him strength is our weakness. And one of the ways we can show strength and resolve is to open up certainly our energy resources and open up the world market that will really reduce his geopolitical power. And Jerry, we have to do that. You know, I went on a trip, and John Hovind from North Dakota, the senator from North Dakota, is with us, and he's a real expert, obviously, in energy as a result. Do you realize we are basically flaring off, in other words, wasting, burning off about a quarter of the natural gas that is being brought up to the surface as we're drilling for oil every year? I mean, that represents billions of dollars in lost revenue, and by the way, revenue for the federal government, too, if we did this on public lands in terms of royalties. So our energy policy is crazy, And, of course, environmentalists, I don't know why they want to regulate us back in the Stone Age, but that's basically their approach. It's not going to work. It's going to be that in itself is harmful to the middle class, as their policies, like Candidate Obama said, will necessarily cause electricity rates to skyrocket. That is the policy. That's exactly what the left is trying to do, is drive up the cost of fossil fuels, which is doing real harm to real Wisconsinites and their families.
Yeah, and here's, you know, and be clear on this. When they talk about, you know, as if there's an environmental debate about the Keystone XL or about frac sand mining in Wisconsin, what bugs the heck out of them about that is those are tools that allows us to maximize the crude oil, shale oil, natural gas, all of the things. What they don't like about their environmental impact is, you're right, they just want to pretend that we can stop using fossil fuels tomorrow.
And then, of course, they don't like wind farms because those kill birds, and they don't like solar power because it takes up too much of land. So what are they going to power? I mean, we don't have enough Niagara Falls that we could tap into to create hydroelectric power. I mean, I don't know where these guys are really going other than, like I say, trying to regulate us back to the Stone Age, and that's a policy that's not going to work.
All right. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, thanks for joining us.
Have a great day, Jerry.
Kind of a wide-ranging interview there, but on the energy part, and that's something that Republicans have to say more and more and more. Liberals are trying to regulate us back to the Stone Age. The Keystone XL, look, there was no way he could allow that thing to be approved before the fall elections because twofold. One, the environmental left would have gone nuts, and two, it would have taken a hobby horse away from several vulnerable Senate Democrats who are using it to criticize the Obama administration, distance themselves from it, and from the Affordable Care Act. That's exactly why it happened. Make no mistake, they oppose the Keystone XL not because of what the pipeline would do where it's laid, but because it would allow more oil to be used. They're demonizing fracking because it produces more oil and natural gas. It is crazy. He's right. It's crazy that we're not using the natural resources. We are unilaterally disarming not only in nuclear weapons, but in energy. Russia, and I'll try to get to more of this in just a bit, but Putin can do what he does because Western Europe doesn't want to be cut off from his fossil fuels. It's 9:48.
Jerry Bader Facebook fan page. Go to jerrybadershow.com.